Today, we're going to do something a little bit different as well. We're going to interview a couple of guys. And so I want Mark and Kenny to come if they would. There's an organization in Bangor that helps a lot of people. We have a men's home in Bangor. We have a women's home in Bangor. It's called Wellsprings. Both of those directors actually go to our church. Mark goes to our church, him and his wife Diane. They run a ministry called Bridges that helps people with addiction. And Mark is also a graduate of the Wellsprings program. Come into the light and out of the darkness, my friend. And this is a picture. This is Mark in the back. This is his wife Diane. There's Kenny. He's in there too. And often I'll go out with the guys and we'll go out and have dinner together or snack together and have some laughs and a good time. But Mark, I want you to explain, what is Wellsprings and what's the need?
Well,
should be on.
Wellsprings, yes, thank you.
There we go.
So, yes, it is wonderful to be in the lane.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can recognize everybody up here. But, so Wellsprings is a 4 to 6 month program. There's a house for men that has about 14 or 15 guys, and a house for women has about the same number. And it's a place where people like me needed to go when I had lost my way. Alcohol and drugs had taken over my life. Relationships were breaking down. I was just lost. I was in the dark, and I really didn't know how to live my life anymore. And it gave me the opportunity to be able to get back on track and find my way again. Of course, God is the ultimate reason why I am here today and how I was able to be transformed. But He used Wellsprings in a way to give me that time of rest, to be able to get my head clear, get my thoughts together, and to really just look at my life and to get back on track.
So what goes on in, it's a residential program, people live there, so what goes on in there?
Well, they require you to take on certain responsibilities that seem real minuscule at the time, but it's just a matter of being able to humble yourself and listen again and take orders and just be able to do the little things in life that we appreciate and take for granted, like keeping your room neat, making your bed every morning, little things like that to be able to be more responsible for your life. The people that work there, Karen is the director for the men's house, and Lisa's here, and she's the director for the women's house. So it's wonderful to have them, and I just see God's hand on these two houses, putting these directors in this place that come to this church, both Christians, have accepted Christ. And then the van ministry that we do, bringing people here. In the morning, you know, we got to get up early in the morning and have breakfast together as a group, and then there's a group counseling session that goes on that we all are required to be there, and then we do lunch together, and there are people that are assigned to cook and clean, and then we go to a 12-step program at noontime and come back for another group. Each of us are assigned an individual counselor, and there's also three or four counselors there that people can use to be able to just share a little bit of their life and what's happened, and get some advice and suggestions on how they can get back on track. And that's what happened with me, and you know, I'm 10 years clean now in August, and it's God has used Wellsprings.
That's right.
So there are some needs over there. The houses have been there a long time. Right now, both houses need a roof. And as you probably know, roofs are not cheap. They're $8,000 to $10,000 a piece. And this is a non-for-profit organization. Karen and Lisa, you know, they work there. They could be making more money at different jobs, but their lives are dedicated to help people change their lives, like they've seen Kenny and I change our lives. So we need some money to be able to get new roofs, new beds, and some other things that both houses need. So I pray that each and every one of us here would donate something towards that cause, because God is using that house. Even though it's not a faith-based program, I look at the name of the place called Wellsprings. You know, and the Bible says, come to the well, and you'll never be thirsty if you drink this well.
Springs of living water.
Exactly. Right. And so they are allowing us to be able to go pick up there and minister to these men and women. And it has changed many, many lives, like Kenny's and like all the other people that you see that come with the
so
band ministry.
So 11 o'clock is when you pick most of the people and come, and you go to the women's house and the men's house.
Yeah, we have a woman that picks up at the women's house, and a man that picks up in the men's house, Ron and Mary, who you know. And they also have transformed their lives. That's they right. are also graduates of Wellsprings, and they're dedicating their time to be able to be a role model and an example of what God has done in their lives. And just the mere responsibility of driving the vans has given them so much life to be able to see people come to church and be influenced and be encouraged by the Word of God.
Amen. Kenny, why don't you come on over? Kenny just graduated from Wellsprings. I went to his graduation a couple of weeks ago. Congratulations. That's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. Very good. And he's just transitioned into another home before he's released. And so why don't you share a little bit about what Wellsprings has done for you personally?
Well, personally, Wellsprings turned my life around. When I was down and out and didn't have nowhere to turn to, Wellsprings helped me through my hard times. It's a place where, you know, you get yourself back on track. And the staff over there is tremendous. They are great. They work with you. They make you feel right at home. And they also just transition you back out to becoming a better person in society, in life. Amen. And everything for me today is just, my whole life has just been 360 turned around. And man, I can't give enough to, especially my high power God. And with the people from Wellsprings, it's just an awesome place. You know, we see people dying out there on a daily basis. You see it on the news all the time. And Wellsprings is a place where people turn to, and they help people on a daily basis that change their life. And like I said, me and Mark is a prime example of what this program is all about. And we can definitely use your support if we can. And
this guy here mentioned a van one day about coming to church, and you jumped on the van.
Oh, yes. Speaking about coming to church, I haven't went to church like almost 3 years ago. And when I got to Wellsprings, they told me, there's a van that comes to go take people to church. I was like, well, I don't know. And then I met Mark. Mark has been tremendous to me. I got aboard. I've been clean so about almost 8 months now.
Amen.
And
amen.
Ever since day one, I haven't missed a Sunday church here. I come here every day. You guys probably don't see me here on this service because I come at 11 o'clock service. But
and you've since received Christ, and now what are you going to do?
I'm about to be baptized.
Amen. That's great. That's fantastic. Great.
And I appreciate it.
Amen.
All right.
Well, we're very thankful for you, Kenny and Mark, and Bridges Ministry that you and I do, and involved with Wellsprings. And it's just awesome that we can bring people here and give them a hope. And what we want to do for Wellsprings is when you leave today, we'll have plates at each door. And if you feel led to throw in some cash today, whatever comes in all day today is going to go to Wellsprings to help them do some of the repairs that they need to do.
Sure.
So thank you guys very, very much.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you both. All right. All right. Isn't that awesome? See lives changed. And we play a part in that. And there are other churches also are playing a part, but we're very thankful that Wellsprings opened their doors to Cross Point Church, and they're very open, and I'm just so thankful for that. I've been able to go to a few of the graduations, but it's for me, it's really fun to go out and eat and hear the testimonies and hear how God's changed their lives. But Wellsprings is the beginning, and then God finishes it off, right? But it's a great place to, like Mark and Kenny were saying, just get your head clear where God can begin to work. It's hard for God to work when your mind's messed up. But they help do that part, and then people come, we share the gospel lovingly like we do every week, and then they make their own decisions to receive Christ or not. So that's awesome. All right, well, let's look at our verse for today. I don't know if you received a card. Now, last week, we did not have church, but we do have the cards available. That's number 3, and that is Proverbs 1:7. We did have church last week through live stream. Did anybody watch us online last week? Oh, yeah, quite a few people. If you did not watch last week's lesson, it led into the lesson today, so if you'd like to go back and pick that up, that will give you the foundation for what we're going to talk about today. But if not, I'm sure you'll be fine anyway. But I wanted to share the verse for today, which is also out there. And if you came in a side door or for some reason somebody didn't hand you a card in the back door, you can get one right after the service. Okay, how many people are kind of trying to stay with it and memorize the verses? How many are you doing it? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Amen. And a year from now, you'll have 51, 52 verses tucked in there and ready to go, okay? You know, hey, listen, even if you learn half of them, right? Hey, 26 verses is better than zero. I mean, even if you did 10 of them, right? You remember Abraham when he was bargaining with God? Started at 50 and got down to 10. Well, if we go with 10, we'll take it. All right, let's read this together. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, let me read it the way I would read it if I was alone. Trust in what? The Lord. How do I trust in the Lord? With all what? Because I don't want to lean on my... That's how I learned the Bible. I make it practical. Trust in the Lord with all my heart, Jerry. Sometimes I talk to myself and say, you dummy, all your heart. And Jerry, do not lean on your own understanding. Because I have to make it for me personally where I get it, the purpose and the reason. All right, let's say it one more time together. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Very, very good. And the verse last week is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? And fools despise and instruction. All right, very, very good. Thank you so much for being part of our Bible memorization, and make it part of your everyday life. Well, let's talk today about Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 11. I've got a small confession to make. We're not going to make it to verse 11. That was the goal, but we failed miserably in the first service, and we're going to fail miserably in the second service, but that's okay. When Jesus Christ went into the wilderness, now, we talked about that last week through taped message that I did. I want to thank Scott and Ryan again. They came in on their Saturday. We set up right here on the platform, and I did chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So once again, I really encourage you to go back and watch that, because that will give you the foundation for this. But Jesus goes into the wilderness for how many days? 40 days. And there he fasts. He wants to spend time with God, the Father, to strengthen him for his task of going now into public ministry. And as I shared last week, the fascinating thing about this is right after Jesus had a spiritual high, his baptism, here comes Satan. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Yeah, every single time. You're exactly right, Karen. Seems like when God allows us to do something in our own life for him that is like awesome, it seems like Satan is right there to test us, to challenge us, to speak to us in a way that is condescending and not positive. And so Jesus Christ, now in the wilderness for 40 days, said no food. Imagine 40 days. We go 4 hours and we're hungry. Imagine 40 days. You know, even 40 hours, but 40 days. And we find here that Satan comes to him in a time in which he is extremely vulnerable, just like he does to you and me now, when we're vulnerable. Sometimes when, not so much that we're hungry, but sometimes when we're depressed. Sometimes when we're running on fumes and we've been working and working and busy and boy, we're just at the place of exhaustion or burnout, and here he comes to see what he can do to test us, to bring things into our life or to create a scenario where we might do something which will really hurt us and those around us. And so the first test is Satan challenges Jesus in the area of serving self. Jesus, do what you know you can do without relying on the Father. Boy, I tell you what, doesn't that sound like all of us? And also, he wanted Jesus to cast doubt on God's word. And we call this test the lust of the flesh. During that time, the devil, during what time? Well, the time of 40 days in the wilderness. During this wilderness adventure, the devil, a real devil. We said last week that 40% of self-described Christians, are you ready? You have your seatbelt on? You're not going to believe this. But 40% of people that claim to be a Christian do not believe that the devil is a real person, but simply some kind of power, some kind of force. He says to Jesus, imagine this conversation. The devil and Jesus Christ. If you are, boy, that's powerful. I put that in bold. If you really are Jesus, and you're really hungry, aren't you, Jesus? And Jesus would say, yeah, I'm definitely hungry. I'm famished. I mean, I've gone 40 days. Well, since you're God, and since, oh, by the way, God the Father hasn't provided anything for you, why don't you take matters in your own hands? By the way, when do we get ourselves in trouble? When we take things in our own hands. I don't know about you, but that's the way it works with me. You don't have to wait for the Father to provide, Jerry. Why don't you just go ahead and speed this thing up? Yeah, that's when I usually crash right into a wall, right? If you are, notice the doubt. By the way, let me ask you a simple question. Do you think the devil knew that Jesus was the Son of God, yes or no? Yeah. You betcha he did. And no doubt about that. But he plays on his humanity, not his divinity. Because Jesus came as a man. And so that is what the devil is focused in on. There's no way he's going to be able to attack his divinity. But in his humanity, he's coming. He said, if you really are God as a man, why don't you take these stones that are here in the wilderness? And why don't you just say, hey, stone, you'd make a great cheeseburger. Now, I've got to say it because it's my weakness. That'd make a great taco. Right? Or an M&M Blizzard, right? Or when I go to Sweet Frog. You know, Sweet Frog, I'm going to have to take out a loan every time I go to Sweet Frog. Because I can't stop on like a $3 one. You know, the last time I went, it was $15. I had to have two people carry it out for me. Because I fill the ice cream, I get the large, you know, I fill it all the way to the top. And then I go through and I get some of this and some of this. And I go, yeah, that'd be good too. And then, yeah, I got to put that on. I try to walk by. And my hand keeps going behind me as I'm walking. You know, I'm kind of like this. And I put the thing on the scale. And it's the national debt on the scale, right? I go, $15! Anyway, but I ate every stinking bite of it, right? If you are the Son of God, tell these stones, in other words, Jesus, just run your own life. It's not good. Boy, Satan, doesn't he like to put that doubt in there? Especially when we're going through times of testing and trials, or tragedy, Satan whispers, see, God doesn't love you. See? You just lost your job. You see, God doesn't care about you. You just went through that tragedy. See, there's no God in the first place. That's all foolishness. Haven't we all been there, church? Sure we have. What did Jesus say? No. The Bible says, as he's speaking to Satan, now Jesus kind of gives him a little sermon. People, Satan, do not live by bread alone. There's more to life, Satan, than just food or raiment or material things. That's his point. But by every word that comes from the mouth of God. There's more to this life than just the things that our flesh wants. Because remember, this deals with the lust of the flesh. Things that we can touch, things that we can feel, things that we can taste. Material things that we crave so we can look good in, to make our flesh look better. And Jesus says, don't go there. Notice this about Jesus. In verses 5 through 11, and I didn't take time to put all the verses, so I extracted one, and I can kind of explain the rest. This is called the humiliation of Jesus, this passage. It's when Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, explains how he left heaven. Now get that, he left heaven, but he never left being God. And he took upon himself human flesh. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. This is important, but he did not give up his divinity. Do you understand the difference? Big difference. Big difference. It's almost like being a missionary. Let's say a missionary left America, and let's say they lived in the richest part of the United States, and they went to the poorest country in the world. They didn't stop being who they were. What'd they stop doing? They gave up their what? Their privileges. So, Jesus took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. You see, when Jesus did that, he was identifying with you and me. He was willing to lay aside temporarily some of his privileges, even though at times, not even through the Father, even on his own, he showed himself to be God, but primarily he worked through the Father to give us a great example that we also work through the Father. Let me explain it to you. When we pray, how do we close a prayer? In whose name? That's right. Because ultimately it's the Father that we are praying to. And Jesus is our conduit to the Father. So if we pray for something or we ask for something, we pray through Jesus' name. In fact, Timothy talks about a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our mediator. He is what takes our prayers, takes them to the Father, and the Father looks at them, listens to them because of who his Son is, not because of who we are. We understand that, church? It's not because who you are. And God the Father doesn't stand in heaven or sit or whatever he's doing and say, boy, that was a good prayer. I'm going to answer that one. Boy, they can really pray. I am so impressed. Yeah, I'm going to do that one. No. He answers prayer based on accomplishing his will in our lives. Notice, this happened to Jesus again. And those passing by were hurling abuse at Jesus, wagging their heads, and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Now, where was Jesus when this was written? Anybody know where he was? He's somewhere. Where? He's on the cross, all right? He's on the cross. People are making fun of him. They're laughing at him. They're ridiculing him. I bet you they're not now, but they were. And they were saying to him the same thing that Satan was saying to him. If you really are the Son of God, take these stones and make them into food, because obviously God the Father's not meeting your need. He's turned his back on you. He's left you all by yourself. Now Jesus, about three and a half years later, he finds himself on the cross dying for your sin and mine. And now they say, save yourself. Notice, I bold this for you again. If you are the Son of God, there it is again. Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, then why don't you come down off the cross? Could he have? Sure. Absolutely. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad he didn't. Because we'd be destined to hell if he did. He stayed on the cross. Why? Because he loved you. That's why. He wanted to give you the opportunity to spend all eternity in heaven with him. Notice in John 6:38, we've got a couple of verses in John that really help us. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Who sent Jesus? The Father. God the Father. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All of them co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. Three persons, one God. We are one person, one being. God is one being in three persons. We are different than God. And so envision God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There are three separate entities, but yet they're all one. And they begin to discuss the fallen race, Adam and Eve. I don't know how it went down, but they must have looked down and said, Adam, you really messed this up. Well, what are we going to do? Well, we created them. We gave them a chance. We created them in innocence, but they chose wrong. Well, we can't leave them to hang out to dry. We're going to have to go save them. Aren't you glad they had a conversation like that? You say, how do you know they said that? I don't know. How do you say they didn't? I don't know. They had some kind of conversation. And God the Father said, well, I love those people. We all created them. We just can't let them all die and go to hell. We've got to send somebody down there to help them. And God the Father said, Jesus, why don't you go? And Jesus said, I will go. And Jesus looked at the Holy Spirit and he said, hey, when I come back after I die and I'm ascended, then you go and live in their hearts. Holy Spirit said, I'm in that too. So one sent, one came, and one went down. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. It's not Jesus or God, it's the Holy Spirit. Jesus died on the cross. God the Father, since when football season, he wrote the play. Right? And that's how it worked. Jesus said, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will. Church, if we could live our lives outside of our own will, we'd be a lot better off. But we want to function in my will, my way, my need. I'm glad Jesus didn't do that. I'm glad the Father didn't do that, and I'm sure glad the Holy Spirit didn't do that, or he wouldn't be living in us. Because Ephesians 1:13 says that we are sealed once we receive Christ with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed, and that seal can't be broken. Of the one who sent me. Notice this verse. Jesus said to them, my food, my desire, my will, my goal, my plan, my essence, my being, everything about it, my mission, my ministry is to do the will of him who sent me. And to accomplish his work. Yes, it was their work, but only Jesus was on the cross. Only one of the three went through the pain and torture and suffering for our sin. It was Jesus. I've got to believe somehow, some way, all three parts of the Trinity felt it. But I don't think they felt it like Jesus did. And he came. And went through it for us. And what did Jesus do when he was battling the devil there in the wilderness? Jesus used scripture. And here we have Deuteronomy chapter 8. And this writing comes from the nation of Israel. Being in the wilderness and they're wandering for that 40 years. And Moses originally wrote this to the nation of Israel. To the people now that were looking back, because this happened many, many years ago, and he recounted how God met their need. in their particular time of need. When they were in the wilderness, they didn't have food. God sent manna to them to meet that need. But it wasn't the manna ultimately that met their need. It was God that met their need. Notice, he humbled you, Israel, and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that comes or proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. What is he saying? What is Moses saying? What is Jesus saying? They're using the same words, and Jesus is quoting from Moses, authenticating, by the way, that Moses was a prophet of God and wrote the book. They both said, life is more than food, raiment, and things. Ultimately, what we need is God. And the quicker we get there, the better off we're going to be. Some people have to learn the hard way, don't they, church? Maybe you're one of those. You have a PhD in learning the hard way. Some people just have to learn the hard way. Now, what was this battle all about ultimately? Well, it was about submission. In other words, Satan was trying to get in and divide the Father from the Son. Divide the submission of the Son humanly to the Father. Many of us in here and in the first service, the next service, are our parents. Some are in the process of raising kids. We'll pray for you. Some have been gloriously saved and yours are grown, okay, from that. But isn't it difficult sometimes for children to submit to mom and dad? It's a constant battle. It's a constant battle. Now, they'll understand it one day when they have kids and their kids don't submit. They'll have a lot greater appreciation for you, but it'll take them a while. And they'll go, now I get it, right? But in that same way of submission, Satan was trying to drive a wedge between the Son and the Father. And then, praise God, Jesus says this, and we're going to end on this. Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom in bold. Seek first his kingdom. Not the things of this world. Seek God and his righteousness. You know, let me give you something really deep. Righteousness means be right, be good, be spiritual, be a God follower. Don't follow the culture, don't follow the crowd. Do what you know is right in your own heart. Follow the Word. And God said all these things. What things? Well, if you read the passage in Matthew 6, it's talking about God's provision. Food, clothes, the things that we need. And it's a great passage because God basically says, if I take care of people who don't know God, don't you think that I'll take care of people who know God? And sometimes you and I, we fall into the trap where we're so concerned about these other things that we bypass this. And we live our lives as if we are not pursuing the kingdom first and his righteousness. But we're so concerned about getting all these things added unto us. And I'm not against things being added unto us, but I am against it if we're not first seeking the kingdom. See, if you just look at the verse, you don't have to be very bright to understand this. That's how I can do this. He doesn't say, but seek first the kingdom, his righteousness, and none of these things you'll get. Does it read this? Seek God and his righteousness and live like a pauper. No, not at all. It doesn't read that God doesn't want us to enjoy the things of this life. But I'll tell you what he wants us to do first is make sure he's the priority in our lives. It's a lot sweeter when you do it that way. And once again, some people have to learn the hard way, the difficult way. And sadly, in life, as we all know, you can't go back and unscramble eggs, can you? So wherever you are in life today, make sure, as Jesus is teaching us in this test number one, when Satan comes and he begins to drive a division between us and God, when he begins to try to get us to doubt God, that you understand what he's doing and that you rely upon Scripture. And that's one reason we're learning Scripture, where we can say, I have hid your word in my heart. Help me finish it. That I might not... See, there you go. There you have it right there. So when Satan comes, say, no, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm hiding his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. It's good stuff, and it's free. That's what's really good about it. Well, let's stand together, and we'll pick up with test number two next week. Just want you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a couple of minutes. And if you guys could fast forward that for me, that'd be great. You know, before we can put him first, we have to know him. We have to trust him. Pastor Pencil's down here, and Mark is over there on that side. If you guys would put up our prayer, I'd appreciate it. But you know, you have to know Jesus first. And as we look on the screen, as we get ready to go this morning, I know that you're the Savior of the world who died for me on the cross. And right now, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, come into my life, and save my soul. If you don't know Christ today, I would encourage you to simply admit that you're a sinner, that you'll never be good enough to get to God, and it's all God and not about you. Amen, church? And if you need prayer this morning, and you'd like to come and just ask somebody to pray with you, we're here. We won't be long the invitation, but we always like to take a couple of minutes. If you want to come and pray by yourself, you can pray right at your seat. If you have spiritual questions, we'll be back at the Welcome Center afterwards to answer any questions that you might have about God. We want you to know that we love you and we're here for you. So before we leave this morning, let's just spend some time in prayer and ask God to make sure that Jesus Christ is first. And then he'll add all these other things unto us. Can we do that this morning? Let's spend some time in quiet prayer.